You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast on this Wednesday, November the 30th. I am your host, Michael Leva, joined as always by my partner, Big E, Ian Berger. Ian, how are you doing tonight?
It is the eve of December, Mike, and I am doing phenomenal. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah, as we get to talk about, thankfully, another Miami Dolphins victory. As we always say, these shows are much more fun after a win. Even if it's against the stinking Houston Texans, it's much more fun to talk about a win than when we talk about a loss. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the San Francisco game and all the latest news. But as always, we start off the show with a big shout out to everyone watching and listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also a big shout out to the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group run by the great and very talented Carlos Hernandez. If you're on Facebook, please be sure you are part of the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. And for those of you watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, thank you. And as always, subscribe to the channel. Smash that like button and also hit the alert bell so when we go live, you are notified on your smart device and you can interact with us like those of you that are in the chat right now can interact with us as we are live on the air. And also, if you're on Instagram, please be sure to be following me at Dolphins Talk. So, E, before we get to the Houston beatdown that took place last Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium, let's talk about some of the news in the world of the Miami Dolphins.
Let's do it.
Big story. Well, there's a couple big stories. First and foremost, for those of you who haven't heard, the Miami Dolphins versus the Los Angeles Chargers next Sunday has been flexed to Sunday Night Football on NBC. So if you don't have the Sunday ticket and you are someone who scrambles each week to try to find a feed of the Dolphins game, no worries. They will be playing at 8:20 Eastern Time p.m. on the East Coast against the Los Angeles Chargers a week from this Sunday on NBC. And a little bit of a heads up here. Breaking news, and I haven't announced this yet anywhere. As always, when the Dolphins play in prime time, you can do a watch-along with myself and Josh Katzker here on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. We are going to do a show, still working out the logistics of it. But if you want to watch the game, obviously on NBC, but also have us on in the side or in the background, you can watch us react live, which can always be a lot of fun when things go well. And when things don't go well, you can watch myself and Josh hopefully celebrate more than cry during the game. So keep that in mind. I'll talk about that more next week.
So Mike, yeah, Mike, it's the first time since 2006. Do I get that right, that the Dolphins have been flexed to a Sunday night football game?
Have we ever been flexed? Because that's relatively new, the flex. I don't think we've ever been flexed.
I think it was Barry Jackson that wrote that it's the first time that the Miami Dolphins have ever been flexed. And I will tell you, Mike, past seasons, we were getting close. You know, we'd go through, like, last season, we had a couple of game win streak, a long win streak. I was thinking maybe the Dolphins will get flexed. Maybe it's exciting. Didn't happen last year. Other times in prior years, I thought we were close and it just never happened. But now, not only are we getting this game flexed, right, which is not this weekend, but next weekend.
Well, don't get ahead of me.
Yeah, I'm not going to get ahead of you, but that it's exciting to get that recognition because it really is recognition that your team is doing very well. And guess what? Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, they got booted.
Well, out of that there's more, well, there's well,
I know that, it wasn't their fault, but
that's not fair. There's know, more to I this. Know. Number one, we got flexed, but a big part of the reason we got flexed is Los Angeles is the number two sized television market in the country, and NBC wants to light up Los Angeles. They're not stupid. They're in the business of making money. That's one. Two, the Chiefs did nothing wrong. Their opponent, the Broncos, stink on toast, and nobody wants to watch them anymore. They're so bad. Like, even this week, NBC will show the Colts, but but they won't show the Broncos. That's all you need to know about the Denver Broncos and how bad they are. So the fact that Los Angeles is a big television market, that's number one. Number two, we're not the Broncos. That's number two. And number three, you got the Tua versus Herbert. That's obviously an underlying story. And three, you got the Miami Dolphins, who are right now the number two seed. Who knows where they'll be 1 week from now. But right now they're number two, and the Chargers are still probably going to make the playoffs. They're not going to win the West, but they're going to make the playoffs in some way. So you got two big teams from the AFC, a big market in Los Angeles, two young quarterbacks playing very, very well. They're going to be tied at the hip the rest of their lives. And you got an attractive TV game that's more attractive than the Chiefs beating the Broncos by 50 at halftime. So, yeah, that's a big part of it. And it's – look, I don't – to me, I know – once again, I know it's the minority opinion. I know. But I am okay with every game being Sunday at 1. The primetime games does nothing for me. But I know for a lot of fans that don't have a Sunday ticket.
I am completely opposite of you. I know. I love being under the bright lights because it reminds me of the old Dan Marino days where we'd be on Monday Night Football like every other week, and it's just all eyes are on you, and it's about time the nation gets to see what the Miami Dolphins are about. And I'm always optimistic, so that means we're going to do great.
Because that can also backfire sometimes, as we've known in recent years. But, okay, that leads us to the next game against the Bills because – that game is going to get moved. Now, here's what's going to happen, folks. That game's going to be either Saturday night in prime time on the NFL Network or Sunday night in prime time on NBC. And if you're a fan of the Dolphins, all I'm going to say is this. And I am – it's not an excuse. So, that first off, any fans of the Bills, this isn't an excuse. It's just logic. I'd rather that game be Sunday night because you got the Miami Dolphins are going to travel west. They'd be on the West Coast for 2 weeks. The last thing they need is to play a Sunday night game in Los Angeles, have to fly cross country to Miami, then on a short week play Saturday up north in Buffalo. On a short week, that's a lot of travel. It's not an excuse if they lose. If they lose, the Bills are the better team. Everyone with the Bills Mafia, calm the F down. I'm just saying that's asking a lot. That's a lot of traveling on a short week with a big game against the Bills. I pray that game's on a Sunday night on NBC, and it's rare that you see teams play 2 weeks in a row on Sunday night, but I guess the Chargers, they did it last month, so we'll see. But again, that's the Chargers, Los Angeles market, larger market. We'll see how this works out. But the Bills game's going to be Saturday night or Sunday night. I just hope it's Sunday because that extra day might be needed. These are three brutal games, and to play the Bills on a short week, having to travel that much is going to be tricky.
It is, and either it be Saturday night or Sunday night, it's going to be the same weather. It's going to be cold. It probably might be some snow on the ground, so that's not going to make any difference. But like you said, it's going to be it would be absolutely unsmart of the national networks to not move the Buffalo Bills versus Miami Dolphins game into one of those primetime slots, right? So you're going to have the Chargers Sunday night football, and then the following weekend it's going to be Buffalo either Saturday night or Sunday night football. And then we have another nationally televised football game on Christmas Day. It's the only game in town at 1 o'clock. And some people were like, well, it's Sunday at 1 o'clock. Aren't there other games being played at that time? No. The Miami Dolphins is going to be nationally televised. So we're going to be nationally televised, Mike, 3 weeks in a row.
And it might not stop there, actually.
I know. We got some amazing games after that.
I keep looking. That game against the Jets week 18, we don't know. Let's look, we're all very hopeful Miami blows through this stretch here the next 3 weeks, and that week 18 game has no meaning for us. That's what we're hopeful for.
Yep.
Sometimes what we hope for doesn't come true. If that week 18 game has meaning for the Jets and us, or say just for the Jets, there's a chance that game is going to get flexed too, because A, once again, New York, the number one TV market in the world, that's a big deal. And you're going to have a game where maybe one team winning your end. That's like a playoff game. I don't think we'll be in that boat, but you never know. It could be something like that. So that week 18 game has a good chance to be flexed as well to prime time. So, yeah, if you don't have the Sunday ticket, don't worry. You're going to be able to see the Miami Dolphins a lot this year. And I think also for the game against the Bills, I spoke to Josh. We're going to try we're going to be doing a lot of watch-alongs. Not on Christmas. You guys are on your own on Christmas. Yeah. But Chargers and Bills, myself and Josh might be doing two watch-alongs right here on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. And I did before I move forward, somebody here asked a very nice question. I want to find it if I can find it. Love your long sleeves. Where'd you get it? This one I got at Fanatics. I got it like over a year ago, so I don't know if it's still up there. But this was from Fanatics, this one. And they have a lot of nice stuff up there, too. And also check out the Miami Dolphins Pro Shop website, because there's stuff on that site that's not on Fanatics, I've learned.
It's interesting. And they sometimes run
by Fanatics.
Deals. Yeah, they run different deals.
Run by Fanatics.
I don't know what
yes, but they have some shirts that are on just that site, not the other. So it's weird.
The other game, too, that you forgot to mention, and I guess it all depends on how they end up, but the Patriots.
Is that the Patriots?
Yeah, the Patriots could end up.
Yeah, that's not going to get flexed, too.
Though. I don't know. Who knows?
Because I think the primetime game that week's actually pretty good.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's part of the deciding factor.
So I think, hold on, let me see. I'll actually, we got a little time here today. Week, what's that? It's a couple more weeks away. Dolphins.
Was it 17? I think it's week 17.
Yes, week 17. Here we go. Week 17 of 18, the primetime game.
Oh, no, it's Rams versus Chargers. That's replaced.
Two LA teams. It's like with the Cowboys. You don't part with the Cowboys because they just turn out. It don't matter what their record is, people watch. It's like the Yankees. It's like Notre Dame. When you got two teams from LA, once again, the number two market in the world, I don't care how bad the Rams are. They're not. I'd be stunned if they flexed out of that game because it's LA. And that's gonna turn on a lot of TVs.
One thing they could do, though, too, is they could change it into a 4 o'clock game because they can. That's the other piece about flex games is that they can make it a later slot.
They could do that. And that weekend, the 4:25 game is with Fox, though. So I don't know if that's gonna move from CBS to Fox. Yeah. Here's the deal with Miami. If you're getting flexed with the Chargers and the Bills, and you got a Christmas Day game, then there is a thing where it's too much Miami, too. People around the country want to watch them every week on national TV. So I don't see that one getting flexed just because LA is such a big market on TV. NBC is just not going to want – they're not going to want to lose that game. That's the first big news. Here's the other big story, which, as I said the other day, if you don't believe in God, folks, start.
I know what you're going to say, and I love it. I'm so happy about this.
Because, well, you don't know
– the possibilities, right?
You might not love me yet. Hold on. Teron Armstead obviously left the game just before halftime. And it's a pectoral strain. It's not a full tear. Grade 2, for those of you who like to play doctor on the internet. And there was real no timetable for his return. And there really still, as of today, there is not a timetable for his return. But Mike McDaniel, his press conference today, sold hope. He sold the fans hope that there's a chance that Teron Armstead, if he can go, he's going to play this Sunday, and he's not going to miss a game. Here's what I'm going to say about that. That's a lot of, to quote William Shakespeare, that's a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing. Because Mike McDaniel sold us hope that Byron Jones is going to come back, starting back in August, and we still haven't seen him yet. So I hope Armstead can play, obviously. Because when Armstead plays, Tua is as safe as a baby being held in his mother's arms. He's that safe back there in the pocket. And when Armstead doesn't play, though, Ian, when Armstead doesn't play, well, they say light travels faster than sound, but opposing defenders travel faster than light and sound while they sack Tua when Armstead's not in the field. It's that much of a difference. So I hope Mike McDaniel is being truthful, and there's a chance Armstead's going to play this week. But I took that as just a lot of coach talk, and I don't know how to read into that. That's just how I see it.
And who knows? All right, we'll find out Sunday. We'll find out Sunday at 1 o'clock. But I think the encouraging things, and I'm always looking for the encouraging and the, you know, and I love the coaches when they give you some hope about certain things. You know, the fact that he said, you know, day over day, you know, he's got more pep in his step, and you know, he is such a good competitor, and he knows he's the leader on this team, and he wants to be out there. So he is going to do everything he can to make sure that he's out there on the field. But with that said, you know, and this can go with like other prior situations that occurred for the Dolphins. Sometimes you also have to protect the player against himself, and you know, would you rather have him this week, or would you rather have him next week and the remaining six games, you know, in the season? So that's something that Toronto's going to have a very honest conversation with, you know, Coach McDaniel if he decides he wants to go. Or it could be one of those things that he could test it out first thing, you know, at warmups and say, I'm good or I'm not good. But, you know, I think there is, you know, there's a greater risk of him getting re-injured or injuring himself even more if he's really not ready to go. And yes, I absolutely want him there to protect Tua. Like you said, you know, without him there, it's not, you know, some people are like, oh, the season is over. Da, da, da. It just becomes more challenging, right? We know
it's a lot more challenging, not over, but just really more challenging.
Exactly. But it's not over. And I think that's where people kind of mistaken. And here's the thing. Tua had learned last year. I hate to say this, but he learned last year how to get the ball out of his hands so fast because he had the 32nd ranked pass defense, pass offensive line in the league. So he learned last year and he's been able to apply that this season with some of the stuff that he's been doing. So even if Teron is not out there, you know, you're going to see a mixture of other guys that are, and they're going to plan. They're going to plan for this. And you know, Mike McDaniel is going to plan. Like, yeah, when he came out during the Houston Texans game, there was no planning. It was plug and play, you know, then Austin Jackson goes down. Let's put in a couple of guys. And McDaniel clearly said that was on me. I did not put those guys in the right spots because I didn't, whatever it was. But this week, they're going to be able to prepare in case Teron is not there. And it doesn't mean an automatic loss. I know people think that. It does not mean that at all.
Yeah, and here's what I said. I said this after the show on Sunday with Tom, and I had to fill in for Josh on Monday as he had some family matters to attend. I said this on both shows, and I'll say it again here for those of you who might not have heard it there. If I'm the Dolphins, if Armstead can't play, if of course you want him to play, if he can't go, I don't care if it's this week or every week, here's what I would do. When you have two weapons on the outside like Hill and Waddle who can get open versus anybody, they literally get open versus anybody, I play six offensive linemen. Okay, I put two people on the left side. Here's why. You put a tight end next to Greg Little. One, all of our tight ends can't block. Smart is the best of a bad bunch. He still ain't a great blocker. So that ain't going to work. And you can't put our fullback over there because that's not going to block some of these people that we're going to be facing in the next few weeks. Put a legitimate six offensive lineman out there and just play six offensive linemen, two on the left side, and I try that. Oh, and that's one. And two, this offense this year has been throw it down the field. Attack, 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 yards in the air, throw, change it up. Now we need the yak. Get the ball out of your hands quick, throw it short, let Hill and Waddle do what they do with their yak. And I would change you up. And plus run the ball more because then they ain't got a pass block. So yeah. Those are some of the things. Now, I don't think they'll do a six offensive lineman, although they should. They should. And here's why they might not. I don't know if they have one, because Austin Jackson, who was said today, re-injured his ankle, unlikely to play this week. Now, never wish injury upon anybody. But when Ian, I said on the show last week at the end, I prayed to God. Look, I know he's coming back, but I don't need to see him on the field anymore. I really don't, and I prayed.
Yeah,
and then
I like Sunday. I know.
Sunday. Nope. At about 12:45 or so, I see Austin Jackson's going to start. And I have to go to confession because the four-letter words I said in this very room right I am sitting in now were not very nice. And then on the first play, I watch him get pushed around like a rag doll. Second play, gets pushed around like a rag doll. And look, I'm sure Austin Jackson's a nice man. He's got a great story, everything there with his sister from his time at USC. Love the story. I just don't need him to – I don't need to see him on the field ever again. He is not an NFL player, and he's not playing this week. So it looks like right tackle, we're going to go back to Brandon Shell, I would assume. I would assume, don't know for sure. And left tackle, it's going to be Greg Little or Teron Armstead or some combination of something, and they're going to have to figure it out because that, as we saw in that game, yes, Mike McDaniel fell on the sword, but – some of those guys just can't block. I mean, that's really – it comes down to players at the end of the day. You're a man. You're lined up against someone else. I don't care how you do it. Block them.
You know, what's interesting, too, is that whatever happened to Michael Dieter? He's still dressing every single game, right?
Yeah.
He's more of a center backup than anything else. Yeah, I know that.
He's a center guard. Now, they did sign – in other news, they did sign offensive tackle Kendall Lamb to the practice squad. Now – folks, he has started 13 games in 2018, two games in 2019, one game in 2020, and one game in 2021, and he's been sitting home since September. So I wouldn't hold your breath he's going to make some type of impact here anytime soon. But he does have some experience under his belt. And maybe in a couple weeks, if this Armstead thing lingers, you could see him on the active roster to provide a little bit of depth or something. I'm sure they're going to call up every offensive lineman capable from the practice squad this week and just have him active just in case.
Yep.
Because it just makes sense. So that, but they did bring in someone here, and maybe in a few weeks he could be on the, who knows? Who knows? It's the thing. It's the thing. The Armstead injury, like you said, if he doesn't play, it's not an automatic loss. Doesn't mean the season's over. It doesn't mean that. But it does change everything they do on offense. It's that big. It changes everything they do on offense because when he's out there, this offense that's just on all cylinders right now, you just keep running it and you don't change anything. If he's not out there, you got to tweak the play calling. You got to tweak the blocking assignment. You got to tweak who's on the field.
You'll prepare for that all week. You will prepare for that all week.
You can prepare for it, but it does change the type of offense they're going to run. Just like without Jones out there at corner, Josh Boyer can't call the same type of defense that he wants, and it, you have to change. So last injury news, Raheem Mostert, who hurt his knee but was running his mouth the past week. It looks like he's good to go this week versus his old team, and he got their attention with some comments. He tried to backpedal it a little. Give him credit for that. But he got their attention with some of his comments in an article. Of course, he claimed he was taken out of context, but they are what they are. He said it. I mean, he said it. But Raheem Mostert looks like he's good to go this week. So Mostert and Wilson, little 1-2 punch. And hey, we got a lot of ex-San Fran guys in this team. You got Mostert, you got Wilson, you got half the offensive staff. You got Wes Welker, you got the tight ends coach, Mike McDaniel. You got a lot of ex-49ers on this guy who are going to be ready to go. And we'll see. We'll see. Now, Dolphins Houston, what were your thoughts on this game?
Went into the game, Mike. I was at the tailgate and I was talking to some fans that, you know, that were there from around the country, around the world actually. And I was saying that was the least stressed out I was before a game that I can remember. And I said, there's no way that the Dolphins are going to lose this game. Number one. And they're like, yeah, but you know, same old Dolphins. Remember I did that whole thing like where I ripped up the paper last week and I was like, no, these are not the same old Dolphins. And, you know, watching that game, it was so relaxing, especially the first half, you know, being up 30-0 at halftime. It's like, all right, we can just relax. We can chill out the rest of the game. And then I think we maybe relaxed a little too much, you know, and it got interesting there towards the end. What were we down by 15? I want to say, it was 15-30 what the final score was.
Yep.
And, you know, I stayed and some people left early cause they figured they'd beat the traffic cause the Dolphins were up by so much. And I was like, no, you stay till the very end. Cause you just never know what's going to happen in the NFL. But I mean, what was nice to see was the defense was, they choked the Houston Texans, you know, from the start of that game. And then they just took their foot off the gas in the second half. I think it may have been also they were a little bit tired, but whatever the case was, the outcome was fantastic. First half, you can't, you know, the team had an A+ all the way around. Even Jason Sanders was having a stellar day and didn't miss one kick, right? And then the second half, you probably give him a D, you know, C+ maybe for that second half, but you know, that win was all that we needed. And being number one in the AFC East again, as the calendar turns to December 1st is something that we are not used to, my friend.
No, not at all. It's been many, many years. Got to go back to when I was almost a teenager, for Christ's sakes. It's been many, many years. And just real quick, that game was over at halftime. I know a lot of people got nervous in the second half, and I understand that was a non-competitive game in the first half, and Houston was never a threat to actually come back and take a lead. That was just never going to happen. It was never in doubt. The offense, the special teams, and the defense played a perfect first half. You will not see this team, maybe to the day you die, play half of football that was that perfect in all three aspects. Once the Armstead injury took place, the Houston, they looked like the 85 Chicago Bears because they were able to just get after a quarterback like all within a step. And I was not nervous. Don't read anything into the second half. Do not read anything in the second half that took place on the field because it's human nature. You're up by that much at halftime, 30-0 at halftime. Trent Sheerfield had 33 yards. The Houston Texans offense had 32. I mean, it was so non-competitive.
Not good. That's not good.
It was just never going to happen. Now, the one thing I'll say, that I'm going to be a little critical on. It is little. It's not really nitpicking, but
look, hater.
Mike McDaniel in the second half. And I know he's a rookie coach, and he said right after the game, I made a mistake, which is good. He acknowledged it. Good. Once you take out your quarterback and you put in a third stringer, which Skylar Thompson is the third stringer,
yep.
You cannot keep throwing the ball and eating up no clock. Once you pull out your quarterback, you're up 30-0. Your goal is, let's just get off the field, get back to the locker room. Everyone go home and have a nice meal tonight. He's throwing the ball. He's taking 1 minute off the clock punt. Houston comes down, scores. It's bound to happen. Okay, I'm going to come out and throw it. No, just run the ball. Get the game over with. Let's go home. There's nothing to learn. There's nothing to practice. You gain nothing. I don't know what he was doing in the second half of this game. He acknowledged after the game he made a mistake, but you can acknowledge it in the real-time moment because there's been a lot of questionable game time decisions against Pittsburgh. He didn't kick the field goal to go up 9. It didn't hurt us. It was close. Didn't hurt us, though. Chicago went to the first half. Clock management was terrible. Not calling timeouts. Just letting the clock run down. Play for a field goal. He misses a field goal. What are you doing? And there's been other examples. Clock management in these games has been downright bad. And this is just one more you can throw on. What are you doing the second half of this game? Look, we all love Mike McDaniel. But, you know, stuff like this he has to clean up because it hasn't hurt us yet. And these next six games are going to be under a microscope. Well, he's going to be under the heat lamp.
I'm going to take the Mike McDaniel approach here, Mike. I'm going to say, listen, you know, the only way you're going to get better is by making mistakes and learning from those mistakes. And
that's the Cam Cameron. That's the Cam Cameron.
No, he's not fail forward and fast.
That's what that is.
but he allows people to make mistakes, right?
Yeah, I can't have him make them.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he made it during this game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm glad his name is not Jeff Saturday, right? When he's got two timeouts at the end of his game, you know, that could have really made a difference for him. But, he called a great first half. He called a terrific game. I'm not going to give the guy too much pain. Every single thing I see about him, you know, they had him mic'd up during the game too. Every single thing I see about the guy, it makes me smile. And it just warms my heart, to be honest with you, because this is our guy. And yeah, we're having a great season, but I see this being a long-term answer for the Dolphins. Like this isn't the first year, you know, that Adam Gase came in and had a strong season. This isn't the first year that Joe Philbin came in, you know, and had an okay season, or just go back to all these coaches that had a really strong first season. This is different. This is different. The way he coaches is different, and the way he gets his players to react is different, clearly.
Yeah. I'm not there yet. We'll see on that because I've seen a lot of coaches come in with a great first year and then flame out. I think you're right. I'm pretty sure you're right, but we'll see on that too. We'll see because we'll just see. And here's what I'll say too. He's got a better chance of winning Coach of the Year than Tua does, a winning MVP. That's not a knock on Tua, folks. Don't read that as a knock on Tua. Take that as praise on your head coach. I think he's got a better chance of winning Coach of the Year than Tua does MVP, only because he doesn't have to go up against Pat Mahomes. So I think he has a legitimate chance of winning Coach of the Year if he can navigate these next three games successfully and pretty much just not lose them all. I think he has a very good chance of winning Coach of the Year for the job he's done in Miami and the turnaround he's had with this offense. So I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying –
I say, why not both give him the award? Why not get the MVP and the coach?
You know my take on Tua, that even if he deserves it, he ain't getting it because of other reasons. And I won't get into it, but even if he deserves it, I just don't see him winning it because there's other factors involved there that are probably irreversible, honestly. For another show, another day.
All right.
So, Ian, it's that time in the show.
Love this time in the show.
It's never too early to play holiday music, and it's never too early to start thinking about gifts. Whether it's for a friend or the friends in your pants, you can make this a season to be jolly with Manscaped. Do your little drummer boy a favor and use the Lawnmower 4.0 to avoid another silent night in the bedroom. Then add in Manscaped's top-of-the-line shower products to have the people thinking, all I want for Christmas is you. Santa cares about his sack, and so should you. Look nice when you get naughty by going to manscaped.com and using the promo code Dolphins Talk for free shipping and 20% off your order. The Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 is the one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. It has everything needed to help deck the halls from the face to the balls just in time for mistletoe season. The Platinum Package has each product from the best-selling Performance Package Plus Ultra Premium from the Performance Package Plus Ultra Premium Body Wash, Ultra Premium Shampoo and Conditioner, Ultra Premium Deodorant. It's the best way to smell fresh from your Santa hat to your candy cane. The Lawnmower 4.0 Body Trimmer and Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin safe technology to protect your delicate presence. Plus, both are waterproof, so there's no issue clearing the snow out of your driveway. There's also the 4000K LED light on it, so you can light the way like Rudolph. Now that you've groomed the candy cane, it's time to make sure you don't smell like a reindeer with the Platinum Package shower products. All of Manscaped shower gear is sulfate-free, vegan, and made to have your skin feeling hydrated. Okay, smelling fresh, whatever. Okay, let's go to the finish. Yeah, I guess it's vegan. Who's eating this stuff? I don't know. Everyone, go to manscaped.com. Use a promo code DolphinsTalk. Save 20% on your order. Get free shipping. Manscaped, get your jingle balls ready for the holidays. I broke into song this week.
I was going to say, did I hear singing? And also, we were talking about Santa's package.
Santa's package, clear the snow, lighten the way like Rudolph, your candy cane, face to your balls. And also, folks, the other sponsor of today's show, BetUS.com. This is probably the last good gambling Saturday we have. College football. And everyone go to BetUS, promo code DolphinsTalk, 125% sign-up bonus with your first deposit. Here are my picks. It's only a handful of games. I'm going to give them to you right now on this show so I don't have to do a show on Friday. USC, -1 over Utah, Friday night. Nail it. That's a lock. TCU, -2.5 over Kansas State on Saturday at noon. Then we're going to go to, what's the next one I want to go to here? Here it is. SEC, Georgia, -16.5 over LSU. LSU's done. Stick a fork in them. Georgia's going to roll over them like a bus over an ice cream cone. And we're going to skip the ACC. Then we're going to the Big Ten. This one's for you, Ruthie. Michigan, -14 over Purdue. You could lay 34 over Purdue. Michigan's hot as a pistol. So take Michigan, -14. Also, Saturday morning, you got the USA in the World Cup. I don't know a stinking thing about soccer, but I'm an American, so bet the USA at BetUS. Promo code Dolphins Talk. We're taking on the Netherlands. I don't know anything about them either, so they can go to hell. USA, USA, BetUS.com, promo code Dolphins Talk. Bet the Dolphins, bet some over-unders. You get 125% sign-up bonus with your first deposit.
Bet responsibly.
Bet responsibly. As always, yes, don't go nuts. Okay. Dolphins 49ers this Sunday. Here's the deal. San Francisco, look, we already talked about all the injuries from Miami. Talk about San Francisco a little bit here. They are down. Elijah Mitchell, running back, is out for the season. Christian McCaffrey has some knee irritation. Sounds like they're going to manage it all week. He'll probably play. I mean, he gets hurt just walking out of the shower every morning, but I'm sure he's probably going to play this week. Their starting guard, Spencer Buford, has an ankle injury. Sounds like his status is up in the air, but Kyle Shanahan said he's hopeful to have him back at practice this week. So it sounds like he'd probably be able to go. So they're down a running back. They have no depth at running back, and they got Christian McCaffrey, who's great when he actually is healthy. So, you know, they're pretty damn good, San Francisco. San Francisco 7-4 at home. They're 4-1. They're 7-4 in the season, 4-1 at home. And overall this season, they are +74 point differential. Miami is +26 point differential. So, Ian, what are just some big picture thoughts here on the San Francisco 49ers?
I'm going to say some things that are going to make some people angry.
Oh, I love it. Angry Big E. I'm rubbing off on you.
No, it's actually going to be the 49ers fans. And I put out a tweet, you know, it's one of the things when, you know, when you start looking under the hood of the team and you start looking at, all right, yeah, they've got a number one defense. They're number one, I think, in first down, you know, number one in.
I got the numbers. I'll run through.
Yeah, you'll go through all of them. They're number one in a lot of categories. But the fact of the matter is, they really haven't played anyone. They've played the LA Rams, who we have seen are one of the worst teams in the National Football League. They've played them twice. They've also played Seattle, which is probably the only good team that they played, and they beat them. But they lost to Atlanta, the Falcons, you know, the Falcons, which are not a good team. They beat the New Orleans Saints last week. And yeah, they shut them out 13-0. So that kind of skews how many points they allow per week. They also beat the Carolina Panthers. Isn't everyone beating the Carolina Panthers these days? They don't have a quarterback. They lost the first week of the season to Chicago. Now, of course, too, they did have Trey Lance. Trey Lance was the quarterback at that time.
Yeah. It was also, too, like a monsoon, which I'm surprised that that game was even played. It was so bad, that weather.
But we've also seen how horrible Denver is. The Denver Broncos. They lost to the Denver Broncos 11-10. So the only team that they have played that I consider to be a good team is the Kansas City Chiefs, and they lost to them 44-23. So yes, their numbers look great. Their numbers, they look like their defense is world beaters, but I challenge everybody who says that to say, who have they really played? Who have they really beat? Has their offense
beat the Chargers really
clicking that much? Okay. The Chargers are 6-4, right? 6-4. Yeah, I think that's,
I know. Yeah, I know. That's a nice win though.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a nice win. No, your point is well taken. They haven't really beaten that many good teams. Honestly, they, outside of the Chargers, that's probably it, honestly. And Seattle is a quality one. Those are the only two quality ones they have, no doubt. So your point overall is taken. But, yeah, I mean, look, they play who's on their schedule. It's not their fault Arizona stinks. It's not their fault that the Rams stink. Yeah. It's not their fault that they got that they got Atlanta and the Panthers. They beat who they beat, and God bless them. But, yeah, I mean, it's the thing this week I've heard, and I got a few things up on our website. People are like, well, now we're going to find out about Miami. You know, they ain't playing the Lions and Bears no more. Now we're going to find out. It's in Houston this week. Like, the month of September never happened. It's like, but, you know, now your point, San Francisco, like, well, who the hell they beat? They beat the Chargers. That's their best win this year, which it's a nice win, but it's not like they went out there and have played – a murderer's row of tough opponents either. So this whole narrative, and I folks, if you get triggered by this stuff, then don't watch it. But if you can watch opposing opinions, up on our website, I have a segment from ESPN with Chris Canty and Chris Carlin, the two of the biggest haters of Tua on the entire ESPN family. And they get out there, and they go, and it's all up on the website. Go to our website, dolphinstalk.com. It's right there. You'll see it. Well, now we're going to find out this week about Tua. Okay, Tua and on. Here, now we're going to find out. Like, the past 8 weeks don't count. We're going to find out about Tua this week. Like, the past 8 weeks don't count. If they lose this week, then he stinks. That's pretty much. And there was also a clip I have also up on the website of Bart Scott, who's pretty much saying that just right there. Everything up to this point doesn't count. The first time they lose now, moving forward, it's just a referendum on he stinks and the team stinks. It's like, it's unbelievable that some of these people say this. Like I said, it is what it is.
The way that I framed it too is, yeah, it's a test for the Dolphins simply because this is a better team, right? This is their record says the 49ers are a better team. And let's be honest, and for those people that have come back and said, well, the Dolphins haven't really played anybody that great. All right, well, we did beat the Bills earlier this season. We did beat the Ravens earlier this season. And some of these teams that have a below 500 record that we have beaten during this five-game win streak, they have gotten a lot better throughout the season. I think after we beat the Lions, didn't they go on a three-game win streak before they almost beat the Buffalo Bills? You know, these teams that we played are not that bad, but at the end of the day, the Dolphins have to go out to the West Coast. There's going to be that issue, right? The Dolphins are going to have to play in a hostile territory. You know, the defense tends to play worse when they're playing anywhere outside of Miami, and the offense, we don't know what we're going to get. but I know you're going to go through the stats because I love when we go through the stats because I have a point, another point that I want to make when you go
through. Let me go through them real quick then.
Yep.
And then we'll get back to you. Total offense, Miami's third, San Francisco's 10. Passing offense, Miami's second, San Francisco's 10. Rushing offense, Miami's 28th, San Francisco's 11. Scoring offense, Miami's 6th, San Francisco 15. So Miami, obviously, they're not strong at running the ball, but San Francisco is pretty much top 10 in every type of offensive. They're near top 10 in every type of offensive category. Miami's, you know, top 5 in pretty much everything except for rushing. And the other side of the ball, this is where it gets obviously impressive for San Francisco. Total defense, Miami 17, San Francisco 1. Passing defense, Miami's 22, San Francisco 11. Rushing defense, Miami 10, San Francisco 1. Scoring defense, Miami 19, San Francisco 1. San Francisco's 1-3 meaningful categories on defense, and they're number 11 in the other. So San Francisco, look, that's an elite pass rush, an elite side of the ball they have. I don't care who they're playing. That's those numbers, when you're 1-1-1-11, you don't have to apologize for that. Miami, though, on offense is 3-2-6 in three meaningful categories. So it is a battle of Miami's offense against the San Francisco defense, and that's where this game is going to be won and lost. Who can, you know, can Miami put a dent in that San Francisco, who I don't think they've given up a point in the second half the past 3 weeks. I believe that's a stat. Can Miami put up some points, put up some yards, and or can San Francisco stop, slow down this Miami offense? That's where this game is going to be won and lost.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, any Nick Bosa, he's a monster. Any way you look at it, you know, he's great. He's great at what he does. And I know some people were going back to the game that we played against the 49ers during the COVID year. I think we beat him by 20-something points, but Nick Bosa wasn't there. They were missing like three or four of their starting defenders. They're a very strong defense. But I think we have, you know, we have some things that can counter that. But most importantly, I want to focus on the 49ers offense versus Miami's defense. And I've said this the last couple of weeks. If you were to take out those running quarterbacks rushing yards that were given up by the Miami Dolphins defense, they would be a top running back defense. They have not allowed a running back to run for over 100 yards this season. And that continued last week against Damian Pierce. And that, you know, the prior week with one of the top five running backs, Nick Chubb, in the league, we held him to, I think it was under 50 yards, if I remember correctly. So yeah, they've got an injured Christian McCaffrey because his knees are sore. That's not something that's all of a sudden going to get better during the week. He might feel better at game time, but that's something that will continue to act up, and they don't really have anybody behind him. And then you're going to force Jimmy Garoppolo to throw. And yeah, he's got some accuracy. He's an accurate quarterback at certain times, but if you can get in his face, if you can make him make mistakes, you'll see that he'll throw some bad passes. And that's kind of what I'm thinking. You know, I'm thinking that our defense can hold them back, and now it's just up to our offense to make some plays and to put some points on the board. I think we could do it. I'm not afraid of the San Francisco 49ers. Am I nervous? Am I stressed out? You know, I asked you that question right before we started the show, Mike. I'm like, are you stressed? And you're like, no, I'm good. Let me tell you, Mike, I am more stressed now than I think I have been in 20 years as a Miami Dolphins fan, because what's happening this weekend is the most important game that we have had in 20 plus years. And you can go to playoff games or whatnot, but what happens this weekend is going to propel us the rest of the season with what happens, and it will shut those people up, like those three guys that you were just mentioning. Oh, Tua's got to prove, the Dolphins have to prove. We'll prove it and we'll shut them up, and then what are they going to say? Then they're going to say, oh, the Chargers,
you're going to move the goalpost again.
Exactly. Well, you got to do it in the playoffs now. Oh, you got to make it in the Super Bowl, whatever it is. But I feel I'm stressed, but I'm confident because I think this team can do it. I think Coach McDaniel has the right mindset, and I think he's talking to these guys, and he's making them feel great about what they're doing. And I think he's going to bring them together.
Yeah. The game's really going to be won in the trenches. If it's like, this is the thing, and we're going to say this each week and beat on it like a drum, because it is right now, the story of the season. Can Armstead play, and how healthy is he? Because it really is that big of a factor. Because, as I said, when he's not in the field, the Houston Texans, who are just god awful, look like the 85 Bears. They were just, nobody could stop them. And again, I said this too on some shows earlier this week. There's no, if he can't go, if he just can't play, whether it's this week or if it's many weeks, whatever it is, there's no good answer to replace him. You want to put Austin Jackson, if he's healthy enough, at left tackle? Well, he stinks. He can't play left tackle. You want to put Shell at left tackle? Well, we saw it last week. He can't play left tackle. He's a right tackle. He can't block anybody. You want to put Greg Little left tackle? He ain't going to block anybody. He stinks too. There's no good answer. So you can come up with any answer you want. We're going to put him there, cover that, give him some help. There's no good answer. Okay, there's no good answer. So I don't know. Look, I hope Mike McDaniel was being very truthful today with what he was saying. And he wasn't just sort of selling hope, or I want to keep the information closed so San Francisco doesn't know how to prepare. It could. I don't know. I don't know him yet. He hasn't been around long enough to know to get a read on that stuff. But if he can't go, he's going to have to coach his little fanny off and come up with ways to buy our quarterback time, to get the ball out of his hands quicker, to run the ball more, so our quarterback's not a sitting duck back there. Because when Armstead's not in the field, it is a house of cards at offensive line that crumbles to the ground. It is. And I hope, because here's the thing with Armstead, here's the hopeful part here. He's had this injury before with the Saints, and he's been able to manage to play through it on some level. Now, it comes down to, would you rather have Armstead at 60% over 100% of Greg Little? I think all Dolphins fans would say yes in a heartbeat.
Yeah, maybe.
But that's up to Armstead if he wants to do that, because it's his body. You know, he only knows how much pain he's in. We can say all this stuff. It's his body. He knows how much pain he's in, how much he can play with and play through. That's totally his call. At the end of the day, it is really. It's his health, his future. But we'll see, because that is the story of not only this game, of every game moving forward. Because right when this injury happened, like any smart person who's not a doctor, you fire up the Google machine and see what's going on with torn pectoral muscles. And what I found on the Google machine was, if it's a torn pec, you're out 3 to 4 months. Well, he's done for the season, obviously. But it's not torn, thankfully.
Yep.
If it's a partial tear or a strain, it's a 3 to 4 week injury. So I'm thinking off the top of my head, well, if it's not torn, he's probably going to miss like a month, roughly, maybe 3 weeks, a month. But now they're saying he could play this week. I just hope he's being truthful, because, like I said, we've heard this with Byron Jones since August, and we're sitting here soon to be December 1st with no update. So we'll see. And look, I know Armstead, that's a man. That's a man right there. And if he can go, he's going to go. Some of these NFL teams, you got young kids who they act young and they got a lot of money in their pocket. And I've been around a lot of these players. Let's just say their motivation isn't what all fans would hope their motivations are. Teron Armstead, that one, those guys. He a man. He wants to get out there and play. He wants to get out there and win a ring. And he wants to get out there and knock some heads. So if Armstead can't
what
is
it, Albert Haynesworth? Was that his name with the Washington for
Albert
a while?
Haynesworth? Yeah. He was a nut, but yeah, he was a crazy man.
He got he's got his payday and slacked off.
There's a lot of players like that, and there's been a lot of players to come through Miami who I won't say on the air. That's stuff I wouldn't share. Who have had that type of attitude? Let's just say Armstead's not one of them. And I'm not saying anybody on this roster is one. I'm talking about years past. Armstead's a man, and if he can go, he's gonna go. I know that about him. So we'll see. But now, Ian, it's time to make our picks. Now, here's the deal, folks. We're going to give our predictions here. Start putting yours up here in the chat, and we'll share them here after we make ours. So without any further ado, let me get to the graphic.
It's now time for Mike's Fearless Prediction.
All right. It's Miami at San Francisco on Fox 405. Your announcers are Joe Davis and Moose Daryl Johnston. And here's the deal, folks. San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge, summer street fairs, and Nancy Pelosi. All great things that the city of San Francisco has given us. And I know half the people are going to hate me for that one. It's also the backdrop to one of the greatest TV shows of all time, Full House. Rest in peace, Bob Saget, and free Lori Loughlin. Now, here's another fun fact about the city of San Francisco. the Chinese fortune cookie was born in San Francisco. I bet you did not know that.
I did not know that. No, sir.
It was born in San Francisco. And here's the deal. Each week this year, I've made picks. And like Lee Corso, when I pick Miami to win, I put this hat on. And I have picked Miami to win every game this year except for one. That's when we played the Vikings.
The Vikings. Okay.
The Vikings. Oh, I'm never picking us lose against the Bills. Screw them. It was the Vikings. And I was right, unfortunately, because I didn't think our quarterback situation was good that week. So I've only missed, two games all year, the Jets and the Bengals, which unforeseen circumstances with the quarterback in each one. And if I knew for a fact that Teron Armstead was 100% was going to play, I would say a bunch of jokes, probably not safe for work, bashing the city of San Francisco and picking the Dolphins to stomp the 49ers fannies. But I don't know that. And I know the San Francisco pass rush is no joke. And it scares the hell out of me. We're going to either have Teron Armstead at like 60% or 50% or Greg friggin' Little at left tackle trying to block one of the Bosa brothers. That scares me. I'm not going to lie. And as much as I like to come here and pick Miami each week, I got to be truthful with myself and honest when times are like this. I think the San Francisco pass rush will be too much. I don't think they're going to stop Miami's offense. That's not going to happen. But I think they'll slow it down. And even though San Francisco's offense isn't anything to write home about, really, I think they'll do just enough and give me San Francisco 24, Miami 17.
Appreciate your honesty, Mike. You can't pick them to go undefeated all year. I know that. I get it. No. I understand. It's my turn though, right?
Yep.
So I made the case earlier in the show about the fact that the San Francisco 49ers do have a number one defense in various categories, but they have that number one defense because they haven't played anyone worthwhile besides losing to the Kansas City Chiefs and maybe winning against the Chargers, like you mentioned, and winning against the Seattle Seahawks. They played and beat the LA Rams, who everyone in the National Football League and everyone in NCAA college can beat right now. And they held them back. They held them back from scoring. They held them back from passing and from rushing. And they did that to all these other teams that are either at 4-6 or they're 3-7. They're bad teams. So this weekend, the Miami Dolphins have an opportunity to prove not only to themselves, not only to the Miami Dolphins fan base community, but to everyone nationally who's paying attention to this game and all these naysayers that say this is going to be the big test for the Miami Dolphins, that they are for real. And here's the thing. You haven't heard about the Jimmy Garoppolo MVP chants, have you? Have you heard those at all during the stadium or any talks through social media that Jimmy Garoppolo should be MVP? No, because it doesn't exist. He's not that good. Yeah, he's good. I'm not going to say he's not good, but he is not that good. But you know what we have, Mike? I made this especially for you. I added something that I think the Buffalo Bills fans might be afraid of. The sun. We got some birds in here. We got Tua Tagovailoa, Mike. And yeah, you're right. It might be more challenging with Teron Armstead not being there, but I think Mike McDaniel is going to prepare this team and get them ready. And I think that the Miami Dolphins are going to beat the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. I think they're going to beat them with the score of 27-21. So let's go, Dolphins. Friends up.
There we go. 27-21. I got San Francisco 24-17. Look, I don't want them to lose. We'll see what happens. We're going to see what happens because I don't think, like you said, San Francisco's good. I think they can be scored on, though. And I think Miami, even without Armstead, they'll come up with some way. I don't know what the way is. They'll come up with a way to block somebody on the left-hand side of that line. And, you know, Hill and Waddle, this might be a nice week to go nuts here. As you've gone nuts all season, this might be another week to we need them to go nuts. And I also think Miami's two running backs are going to run very motivated this week. Obviously, most of everything he's been through this week with the media talking, some players for San Francisco chirping back, he's going to be motivated. Jeff Wilson was just there like a month ago. He's going to be motivated. This might be a game where Miami leans on that run game a little bit more this week. And we see Wilson and Mostert maybe go a little crazy. Maybe run through a brick wall because they're going to want to show their old team. Because Mostert said some stuff about his old team that was not very nice. How they wanted to rush him back and all this other stuff. And then Jeff Wilson, you know, he wanted to get out of there. He wanted to get out of there. So we'll see. And, yeah, I think, yeah. Hey, I said that earlier.
Yep, you
now,
did.
Now yep. You got less time. This is we haven't seen much, quote-unquote, yak all year. Now would be a good time to start because I think get the ball out of his hands quicker, get the ball to Hill and Waddle, and let Hill and Waddle do what Hill and Waddle do and make plays after the catch. And we'll see. Trent Sherfield as well, ex-San Francisco 49ers, also probably going to be very motivated. We got a lot of ex-San Francisco guys on the staff, on this team. It's going to be fun. So as we wrap up, everyone, be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We got a bunch of new podcasts. We got a bunch of new articles up. DolphinsTalk.com, we're your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. BetUS, promo code DolphinsTalk. Bet what you can in some of this stuff. There's a lot of good bets up there. College games, NFL games, USA all the way. Even if you don't know soccer, you're an American. Be good to your country. Bet USA on Saturday as we beat the Netherlands, whoever the hell they are. Also, Manscaped promo code Dolphins talk there. Follow Ian Berger on Twitter at Ian. That's right, Craycraft, also 49er. Follow Ian on Twitter at Ian693. Follow myself on Instagram and Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Ian, do you have any closing thoughts?
Mike, how does this look, by the way?
9-3 looks great.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too. Thursday night, hold your nose and let's go Patriots.
Go Patriots.
Beat the Bills.
Let's go Patriots.
Beat the Bills Thursday night. Dolphins fans, hold your nose and do it. I know it's tough, but screw them. New England stinks at the end of the day. They ain't going nowhere. Beat the Bills in Foxborough. Let's go. And let's not, because I'm sick of the Bills already. We don't play them for 2 weeks, and I'm sick of them already. So, a Jason Sanders game winner would be great. He looked good on Sunday, I'll tell you that. He looked very good. Thursday night.
I'm just so happy that we are here right now, 8-3, heading into December. So many seasons, you know, we get to this point of the year and I've got these parking passes and tickets to go to Miami Dolphins games. And it's just to go out and have a good time. You know, yeah, I look forward to going to Dolphins games, but I want them to be meaningful. And here we are in December, meaningful Miami Dolphins football, talking about playoffs, talking about how important these games are, talking about national media, national attention for our team. Can't ask for anything better than this. Now we just got to go and win some games. That's it.
Finish it up. That's right. Everybody, thank you for listening. Have a great Wednesday night. Have a great Thursday. We'll talk to you again after a while. Folks, don't forget, just because we're heading into December, let's put an end to highway profanity.
Fins up, everybody. Good night. Let's go. Let's go, Dolphins.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.